Good evening, Little Saigon and Seattle, Washington State, and all of you out there. This is Friday, and it is, you know, it's September the 27th. Yep, September the 27th. I had to double check because when I'm in retirement, and I'm currently in retirement, every day bleeds into the next. Yeah. I'm just sitting here. It's a chilly night here in Seattle. Now, Raytheon promised that we would get a cold front that would be very winter-like with gusty wind. The hail was a nice add-on. If you were outside and you had your tongue out hoping you'd catch some hail on your tongue, I would not consume that hail. I think that hail is chemically nucleated. That's how you reduce the temperature of Seattle by about 20 degrees in just a couple hours. Anywho, yeah, we had this really interesting cold front come in that was promised to us by the National Weather Service, by Raytheon. Weather by design, weather made better by scientists. Weather by design. Now, for those of you who are not aware, and for any new listeners out there, to the Little Saigon Report, you should be made aware that I have myself consumed the podcasts of a gentleman by the name of Dane Wigington. And Dane Wigington has a website. I think it's geoengineeringwatch.com or .org. I think it's .com, but you could try either. The point is, if you type Dane Wigington, Geoengineering Watch, into whatever browser search engine you want to, you'll likely get his website. He also has a YouTube channel. Every week, every Saturday, he puts out his weekly report. It's not, you know, some of you tune into me because you think it might be fun. You think Dan will be fun, maybe funny. He might talk about something that's not too scary. And so you listen to me thinking, well, even if I do take you down a fucking scary road, I will throw you. If you fall into the water as we walk down this rocky path, if you fall into that rocky, nasty river water, I will throw you a life preserver. I will. Dane Wigington doesn't really do that. And I think from his perspective, he doesn't think it's a joke. He truly believes that the Earth's climate has become uber wonky. He believes, as many do, that this is the result of human activity. But what's worse is he believes that for almost 100 years, and at least since World War II, the United States government and other governments have been controlling the weather using various agents and also basically microwave stations and radar stations. The concept is not that difficult to understand. If you have nanoscale particulate metals and you can introduce those into the atmosphere, they'll act as an aerosol, so they will pull in moisture, and that's good if you want to create a little hail on a Friday night in Seattle. If you want to lower the temperature a lot, you know, it's endothermic, baby. Endothermic means it basically is a chemical reaction that reduces ambient energy rather than adding to it. So you know those little packs you have in your first aid kit, the emergency cooling packs? Those contain compounds, and in many cases metals, in a salt, that if you mix the right compounds together, you get an endothermic reaction. And that reaction will reduce temperature. So there's two things going on here. You're reducing the temperature, but you're also introducing a metal. And if you have microwave broadcasters, narrow wavelength projection systems like radar systems, you could literally push a cloud around because the cloud contains metal. It's not, this is not, fantastical super science. It's actually fairly basic electromagnetics. Now, that being said, if you tell people they're doing this, if you say to anybody, I had a conversation with a taxi driver today. I said, he said, wow, it's getting cold. And I said, yeah, it happened in about 15 minutes. Yeah, that's not normal. But he, he did not believe that, there's anything going on, and he thought it was normal. And the thing is, folks, if you come from a nation or a society where you are already looking into the ugly cauldron of total ecological system collapse, and frankly speaking, a lot of the people coming here are coming from places like that, okay? A lot of the people coming here are coming because their societies are falling apart, and it's not just politics. It's the web of life too, okay? They're hoping that they can survive in this life raft here. So from their perspective, it's like, hell, if you were coming from India, for example, and you weren't lucky enough to be in an upper caste, then living here probably seems like a miracle, okay? Because things there are fairly tough. I heard a while back that in Chennai, things were so tough that people were basically robbing water trucks because they couldn't get any fresh water. Folks, that doesn't happen in the United States yet. Hopefully it never will. But if you want to know why people tell you, why that taxi driver will say, isn't it a nice day, even though you know deep down inside that the weather is fucked, it's because from his perspective, it is a nice day. Compared to the shithole that he's coming from. That is the brutal, honest truth, folks. And I'm not sure it stays like that forever. I'm not sure that the United States doesn't itself become a shithole. Frankly, I think we're sliding that direction. But don't feel special, because I think the entire modern world is sliding that direction. Anyways, today's weather was brought to you by Raytheon, if you believe Dane Wigington. And so when you look up in the skies and you see at basically the same altitude, one plane leaving no trace, and then you see another plane basically leaving a big old fucking etch-a-sketch, nasty-ass spider-webby cloud in the sky that 5 minutes later becomes a cloud formation, then I think, maybe you have a right to ask questions, but most people don't give a shit. I think if Dane Wigington is right, it probably doesn't matter. It is something that literally most of the people I know can do nothing about. He believes that if everybody woke up all of a sudden, if every human being in America woke up and realized that they were manipulating the weather to keep the majority of the people in this country believing that we do not have climate change, that in fact, maybe even we have global cooling. He believes that if you told the truth, if you actually told people that this was going on, that they would be calling for bloody murder. And on one level, he would be right, but I don't think that's true anymore. Like maybe in the past, maybe 20 or 30 years ago, people would have cried bloody murder, but I think people have become slaves. And what makes it worse is that if you believe Dane Wigington, the very materials that they're using to control the weather are literally making people dumber. Because one of the materials they're dumping into the sky, if you believe Dane Wigington, is nanoscale aluminum. And I'm sorry, folks, if you don't know or haven't researched the connection between aluminum and Alzheimer's or dementia, you really need to fucking research that. Okay? There is no amount of aluminum anybody should have in their fucking body. But if Dane Wigington is right, our food, our water, everything has nanoscale aluminum in it now. And the more that you go outside, the more that you go jogging, if you're a jogger, especially if you go jogging after they've been spraying, yeah, you're basically shredding your lungs at a very small scale. And this is where things get really fun. If you add in cell phones and all the fucking EMF and all the fucking radio wave pollution, then it means these tiny little metal particles, like tiny little razor blades, are always vibrating inside of you, cutting things up. If he's right, it's entirely plausible that people are too stupid to even understand what he's saying. If he is right, it's also possible that people, even if they understand, even if there's enough people who can really understand their predicament, okay, left alive, I think most of those people don't give a fuck. And this is where things get really, really bad, because you need to listen, folks. There's a reason why, in recent weeks, I've been bringing up the issue of boiling water nuclear reactors and pressurized steam reactors, which is, of the 100 reactors we have in this country, more or less 100, I think it's 99, they're mostly boiling water or pressurized steam, both of which are kind of dangerous reactor designs. And they're both basically first or second generation reactor designs, and primarily designed to be generator reactors to generate materials for nuclear weapons. Or sometimes they're called breeders. We've got about 100 of these, okay? So let's say you want to do a la carte Teotihuacan. Because I frankly don't give a fuck. There are some people who believe the reason why they're spraying is because Planet X is coming. Nibiru would be visible if they weren't spraying. There are other people who believe that all this weather shit is simply the result of a polar shift that's getting ready to occur. That's fine too. And there are other people who believe that the entire thing is engineered, and that's fine too. All these things sound really great, but here's what you need to fucking understand. Any significant disaster that impacts the logistic systems of support for a boiling water reactor has a knock-on effect that is catastrophic. It doesn't matter if global warming is real or it's bullshit, or if there's a pole shift coming, or if in reality we're all being gaslit because the entire economic system is about to crash. All of the above scenarios and any combination thereof results in the same thing, an increased probability of a nuclear accident. I'm sorry, it does. And if they happen, where basically most of the reactors are, and that's on the east side of the Mississippi, if they happen, they could in fact cause the situation to get worse. What do you think happens if you have a Fukushima-style reactor? Let's say it's Indian Point. That's not far from Manhattan, not far from, you know, New York City. What do you think people do in that scenario? Do you think they sit around and wait? Maybe, but I think they actually panic. And if the government tells them there's no problem, it's only going to take their first friend calling them up that lived nearby, talking about the weird stuff coming out their butthole, talking about the fever that won't go away, talking about how their cat died 2 hours ago. You're going to have a panic, folks. That panic will create a logistical communications fucking nightmare. So the reason why I'm saying this is because I want to get beyond this bullshit of saying, well, Dan, I think it's this and not this. Actually, folks, I don't give a fuck what shape the tidal wave is. I really don't. I wish it were not coming. The only thing I'm certain of is it's coming. Do I know the shape of the tidal wave? Do I know if it's a comet in the sky, a caldera cooking off, or simply the fact that the set of human affairs, the set of economic arrangements, are so terrible, so fucking tyrannical, that they simply cannot continue because there's nothing about them that allows them to continue. It is, in essence, the death of what is corrupt. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If we're really, really lucky, people, if we are so very lucky, the United States will go through a process not unlike what the Soviet Union went through in the 1990s, if we're really fucking lucky. But I don't think we're going to be that lucky. I think that even if we don't have any natural disasters, even if global warming is bullshit, even if there's no fucking ice age, let me tell you something. Any series of those disasters, ice age or global warming, the result is the same. You're going to have one or more reactors cook off. And once that starts happening, it only gets fucking worse. It doesn't matter. The set of arrangements itself is broken. Anyways, next topic. Went a little dark there. Before I switch gears, though, I do think Dane Wigington is a legitimately... I want to believe this. I'm going to say something, and I want to say it. I think he is a legitimately decent guy. Like, I think his heart's in the right place. I don't think he is a doom porn artist. I don't think he's in it for some type of money scheme. He sounds honest. He sounds like he simply wants to prevent a disaster. And if, in fact, he's right, I hope he does. And if there's some way I can help, other than just letting people know that the guy exists, maybe I will. But I just don't know. I'm not sure there's anything that we can do at this point. I think we are literally in the fourth quarter, 5 minutes left. I mean, I'm not a big football fan, but we're in the fourth quarter. There's like 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And you're behind 21 points. And you have the ball. So is it theoretically possible for you to make, you know, two touchdowns, another touchdown, and a safety or something? Anything is possible, right? Especially if you believe in God. But what I will say is this: magical thinking will not save us, nor will assuming that there is no way out. I do think we have to look for ways out. The problem is this, and this is the thing that Dane Wigington gets to, that I think we all need to focus on. How do you solve a problem when you don't even know what the problem really is? I mean, basically, let's say you're a prepper. What are you going to prep for? What scenario are you going to prep for? There are some scenarios you really can't really prep for. You really can't. You know, if you live anywhere near a nuclear weapon, a nuclear target site, a site that our enemies would target, you're probably toast if there's a nuclear war. So if there's a nuclear war, yeah, theoretically, some people could, you know, hide out like mole people for a while. But if there's a nuclear war, we're done. Okay, all of the reactors cook off, okay, which means that we're in what I think one guy referred to as the Pluto scene. And basically, the Earth is a radioactive, potentially cold, but a radioactive and cold wasteland. And the fact that we'll be spreading all of these nice radionucleotide salts everywhere as a result of the nukes themselves and all the 400 worldwide reactors cooking off, adding in all the nuclear submarines and the aircraft carriers, because again, these things have to be managed. They do not take care of themselves. They really don't. We will probably salt the Earth. So there's some forms of prepping that I just don't know. You don't prep for nuclear war. If there's a nuclear war, the only prepping I recommend is that you make sure you tell the people you love before that day that you love them. That's the best advice I can give. And also, you know, if you're a Christian, prayer. But if there's a nuclear war, the only thing working in your favor, the only thing on your side, the only thing helping you out in a nuclear war is that the very same people that made a series of idiotic decisions leading to the war are the very same people running the war. So you can hope that they screw it up. You can hope that maybe half the missiles don't get launched. There are people who theorize about nuclear war and who contend that it could end up being the kind of war where it gets scheduled but nobody shows up. It's possible that people will rebel, that people will refuse to obey orders. There's, you know, I've heard a rumor, and I think it's a rumor, that back in 2013, when Obama really, really wanted his war with Syria, that there was an attempt to take a small nuke and set it off the east coast of the U.S., and then say, oh, it was Syria trying to do an EMP or something. And an Air Force general refused. And again, this is probably apocryphal, but because of things like Operation Northwoods that are a matter of public record, because we know that our own government in the early 60s planned to use chemical weapons against the American people and then blame it on Cuba. If you're asking, would our government do this, well, you already know my fucking answer. The answer is yes. Abso-fucking-lutely. In fact, I'm not sure that particular play is off the map. You know, when you think of things, and again, I went off target here because I was going to stay focused on topics, but I like this thread a little bit, so it's okay to go off topic a bit. But when you think about false flags, and if you don't know what a false flag is a military operation, basically a manufactured event that allows you to place blame on some entity. So for example, as I've used before, where the Germans dressed up Germans as Polish soldiers and said, hey, look at the Poles just attacked us. It was total bullshit. But again, that would be a false flag. Gulf of Tonkin, false flag. Most likely, the battleship Maine that blew up in Havana Harbor to start the Spanish-American War, yeah, that was probably a false flag too. But the thing about false flags is I think they're a lot like drugs. It's like all these school shootings. I don't know if they're legit. I don't know if they're somewhere in between. Like, in some cases, like Sandy Hook, I think it was Sandy Hook back in 2012, the whole thing looks completely make-believe. Like, there's just too many things about it that seem totally made up. But some of these recent shootings, especially the one in Vegas a few years ago, they probably had to happen. But again, they all, even if that's true, a lot of the details seem weird. That being said, I don't want to go into the specifics of whether they happened or not, but this is what I will say. If a government is using false flags to push an agenda, they really can't overuse them because they are like drugs. People get conditioned. People get desensitized. Eventually, people wake up and say, oh, fuck, somebody went crazy again. Listen, I was on the streets today, walking down the streets, okay? 12th Avenue in Seattle, broad daylight. And this dude is walking towards me. And I'd seen him before. I sometimes call him the Wild Screamer. The Wild Screamer dude who's got his little bag and he's walking and then all of a sudden his eyes get big. Thankfully, he wasn't looking at me. I think he was looking at one of his hookers that he was running because he's some type of a middle-aged pimp. And not, you know, probably that good. He starts going off. He starts yelling at this woman. She starts yelling at him. And if you want to know, is that a typical day in Little Saigon? That's a normal day. But that's a normal day almost everywhere now, where you've got a lot of people together in a city like Seattle, and a lot of bullshit, and a lot of lies, and a lot of poverty, and a lot of economic confusion, and then people start going fucking crazy. Crazy world, people. Crazy, insane world. I'm going to go to the next topic, but I just want to tell you something. I'm not against prepping, but it is very, very true. You need to know what you're prepping for. I'm not against fighting back like Dane Wigington wants to, but you need to have a target. And I'm going to add one more thing about this whole keeping things cool on the east side of the states. And again, I've said this before, I'm going to emphasize this point. Most of the reactors in our country are east of the Mississippi. So it almost makes logical fucking sense to keep that part of the country extra cool. Unless, of course, what Dane Wigington is suggesting is that we end the entire program, add the 1 or 2 degrees Celsius that's inevitable if that's what we do. Okay, if we're actually doing this, there is going to be an effect. It's not going to be self-regulating overnight, which means that you take the risk of some of these reactors cooking off in the chaos. There's going to be chaos. There's going to be giant hurricanes. If the Earth has to reset, if we've really, really been doing this, and the Earth has to reset its climate system, you're probably going to see storms that are unprecedented, that we frankly will be too scared to even come up with a number for, you know, to say, oh, this is a class 3 or a class whatever. I could imagine a scene wind so strong that skyscrapers get torn from their foundations if the Earth climate system has to reset. If, in fact, Dane Wigington is right. But like I said, I cannot prove it. I don't know for a fact. Do I think the weather is weird? Yes. Do I think that the ecosystem around me in Puget Sound seems a little unstable, maybe unhealthy, and that's a nice way of putting it? Yeah, I do. I think there's a lot of unhealthy shit going on in the life systems on planet Earth right now. But that doesn't mean I know what's causing it. Next topic. I am horrified almost daily by the shit I learn. And I learned something new yesterday. I'd heard it used before. I'd heard this word show up. But it, like, I just didn't even want to think about it because maybe on an unconscious level, I knew what the word meant. And I also knew that it applied to me. But I didn't want to think about it. So anyways, have you ever heard of an incel? Incel, that's involuntarily celibate. And so, you know, I'm neither ashamed nor proud. It doesn't really matter to me. I will be brutally honest. I've had sex with more or less two women. There's a third possibility when I was 19, but I truly think I was really drunk and I didn't actually have sex. So in reality, I think I've had sex with two women. Now, am I ashamed of that? No. Listen, I don't really give a shit if you've had sex with 50 women. I truly don't want the crabs you've had either. Or whatever else is worse than crabs. Okay? When I was being processed, a little bit of a tangent here, but when I was being in-processed as a soldier in Korea, we had a sergeant give us the little scary speech about the black syphilis, which in retrospect seemed kind of racist and funny given that the sergeant was African-American. The black syphilis was a syphilis so bad that if you got it while stationed in Korea, you didn't get to go home. Now, I believe the story was made up, a lot like my dad's story about the cutter, the logger, who cut off his arm and put it in his lunchbox and drove to Seattle General Hospital to have them sew it back on. I don't think that story is real. I love you, Father in heaven. I do. We've made amends. But dude, that's just not possible in the 1970s. Yeah, no, that never happened. But if it did happen, great. It's great. I think I will tell you, loggers are crazy as fuck. They are. Anywho, I want to stay focused on this one, but involuntarily celibate. I have a couple people that listen to me that I would classify as younger. I have a few people that listen to me that are in their 20s, so I guess that would make them Generation Z. Although I think these generation categories are deeply depressing. I'm not even sure why we call each other, you know, Z or Millennial or X Generation or Baby Boomer. I can think of one reason. We're sizing each other up to take our vengeance, our historical vengeance. We all feel like we've been screwed. And no one will feel like they've been screwed more than the young people. When things get bad, I fear a lot of young people are going to say, you know what? Our parents fucked us. So we're going to push back. But if there's young men listening to me right now, I want to tell you something. The value of your existence is not defined by your penis, okay? I know we live in strange times. I know we do. We have people out there, especially amongst the quote-unquote LGBTQ community, who want to turn your sexual organs into a kind of basis for political philosophy. But it's not. Your junk, and when I say junk, I mean your penis or your vagina, because this can apply to men or women. If you're a man or a woman listening to me right now, and you're not getting a lot of sex, maybe you're even a virgin, and you're thinking, oh shit, I'm a virgin, that means I'm a scumbag. I'm going to sell you on the opposite argument, okay? You're not a jerk or a scumbag because you don't have sex. Yeah, sex is great. I miss it. I haven't had sex since 2013. And frankly, it's not like I had a lot of sex before then. But, you know, I miss it. It's great. Sex is wonderful. It is wonderful. Okay? The Lord in heaven, he is so kind. All right? And there are so many beautiful people, men and women. There are so many reasons to fall in love. Okay? Even in times like these. Even in times like these, you shouldn't give up on love. But here's the deal. If you're not out there having lots of sex, that doesn't make you a loser, okay? We currently have a culture that tells people that having sex is a way of measuring your value, or that having sex is how you become an adult. No, folks, that's like the cart before the fucking horse. You need to become an adult before you start having sex. You need to be an adult. Okay, period. That's number one. This idea that sex makes you an adult is part of the creepy fucking corruption of America today. It's the other fucking way around. You should be an adult before you have sex. I'm sorry. And if you're a parent that, like, really pushes sex on your kids under the age of 18, then you're just a real... I think you're a scumbag. I think you're a child abuser. And your argument's going to be, well, Dan, I don't want them to have questions about sex. Listen... That's fine, okay? If you believe that, that's fine. But I promise you, there's an appropriate time to have that conversation, probably. It isn't kindergarten. It isn't first grade. I would even argue it's probably not before fifth grade. Hell, we had our first sex ed class, I think, in fifth grade, and it was fucking horrifying. Was it necessary? I don't know. If at Immaculate Conception School in the 1980s, lots of kids were getting it on. I really have no fucking clue. I don't. I wasn't, and frankly, it was the least of my fucking concerns at the time. Okay? 100% heterosexual, 100% into girls, but the least of all my concerns was having sex at that particular fucking time. You're not alone. You're not a freak. And like I said, there is something to be almost honored in saying that you don't want to just give your intimacy, your who you are, to any old fucker. You know, it's funny. In 2015, I decided to start... Well, actually, in 2014, after my divorce, I tried to start dating again. It was not a successful thing. I tried Plenty of Fish. I tried the fucking... What was the other one? OkCupid. I did the free thing, and then I did the pay-for thing, and this is the thing. It was all terrible. But I had one date in particular, where the woman showed up. She couldn't stop talking about all of the weird ways she has sex with men, and she was a mom. And again, I'm not saying moms don't get to have sex, but it was like, holy fuck, it sounds like you're mostly having sex and not taking care of your kids. And then, right at the end of this first date, the coffee meetup, she says, you want to go out to my car and fuck? And I said, no. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm old fashioned. I'm not going to do that. And she said, well, what do you want to do next? And I said, well, I'm glad to have met you, but I don't think we're a good match. And then she said, well, you know what? That's the kind of thing you can say in a text message. No, actually, that's the kind of shit. If you felt comfortable telling me that you want to just go out into the car and have sex with a random fucking stranger, if you felt comfortable telling me about all the weird ways you had sex with random strangers, guess what? I feel 100% comfortable telling you we're not a match. If you call yourself an incel, male or female, and I know it's mostly the men who are taking on this mantle, although I truly think it applies to probably everybody, including people who are gay. That people tell you, oh, if you're not having sex, you're not cool. Oh, if you're not having sex, you're not successful. If you're not having sex, you're not going to be an important person. You know what, guys? All of the above can be achieved completely separate from whether or not you're having sex. And here's the thing, too. I don't know if I want to spend a ton of time on this one, but the involuntary part is a little bit deceptive. I don't know that you are an involuntary celibate unless you want to take on that description, unless you want that to be, you know, your nom de guerre, you know, the thing that people label you, okay? I would say it's more like you're just not ready to just go out and have sex with any old person. That's how I would reconstruct it. And if you really are a person who just wants to go have sex with somebody, I don't know what to tell you, okay? If you think you're missing out, if you really, really think you're missing out, then go out on this Friday night, okay? Go to the nearest bar or, you know, download that app, that Tinder app. Go and do a hookup. I don't know. And if women are rejecting you, you know something? I'll add this too. At this particular point in human history, and this is particular, and again, I don't want to be a misogynist. I don't want to beat up on women, but this, I need to end this focused on men, because the men, we get kind of beat up on these issues. I think it's fair for us to focus on men here for a bit. As a man trying to date in 2019, my advice would be this. If you're in your 20s, don't be afraid to wait a little on the whole having sex thing, because I think human history is about to become so insane that your situation could be radically different, and you literally could be beating women off with a stick. I know that sounds like I'm saying, oh, he's telling men to beat women. No, I'm not. I'm saying that currently we live in a paradigm that I think is mostly bullshit, and completely constructed bullshit powered by debt. So even if no natural disaster became us to destroy us, the mere financial disasters hanging over us are going to cripple us. And our society, if we're lucky, is going to suffer major setbacks. And in that scenario, period, I'm sorry, there's going to be massive unemployment. And there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of women out in the streets, men too, but frankly, a lot of women wondering to themselves, well, okay, what now? Okay, what now? What am I going to do? Okay, I adopted an existence that told me men were scumbags. I adopted an existence that said that men and women were exactly the same. Well, we're not exactly the same. That doesn't mean men are better than women or vice versa, but I adopted that paradigm that we're the same and maybe even better. And I adopted a model, I adopted a philosophy that pushed men away, that demonized them, and now I'm sitting here in the streets wondering how I'm going to find food or water, and who's going to protect me from basically, yeah, being attacked, being assaulted. And that's a nice way of putting it, folks. And if you're a woman out there listening to me and thinking, oh, Dan's a scumbag, here's some advice to you. Learn how to use a fucking gun. Wake the fuck up, okay? If you think and believe that you can have a half a century of beating up on traditional values, a half a century of beating up on the concept of family, a half a century of turning away from God, if you think you can do that shit without limit, if you think you can build a society of war and murder piled on hypocrisy, I'm sorry, you can't. So if you're listening to me and you're a female, and I don't care if you're a lesbian or not, or just hetero, it's irrelevant, get a fucking gun and learn how to fucking use it. Because there is a time coming where the cops just won't show up. There'll be no cops. There'll be no police. There'll be no FBI. The 911 operator won't even fucking be there. Because that person will be worried about their fucking family. On the other hand, you could do what I've heard some crazy, crazy people say. You can just poop and pee yourself every time you're attacked. And that is a strategy also. Although, frankly, in a world without good health care in the future to come, without, you know, many other things like having predictable water, I don't know how long that strategy works before you don't get sick. But yeah, you could simply pee and poop yourself too. But I will tell you, these streets you think are okay right now, okay, Yeah, you got homeless, but it's okay. You know, here's another thing too, I'd like to say to the women. I just talked to the men saying, don't be in such a hurry because maybe right now isn't the right time to have a girlfriend if you're in your 20s and you're hetero and you're a man. But here's the thing to the women. The smartest thing you can do at this point is ask yourself, what do you look like to those people in the streets that you make fun of? What do you look like to those people in the streets that you walk over, that you walk by while staring at your fucking phone? Because when the day comes that 911 doesn't work, when the day comes the cops don't show up, those people will still be there, folks. So, yeah, young men out there in your 20s, don't be in a hurry to have sex. Focus on being strong, focus on believing in yourself. Focus on the fact that society gives you a lot of mixed and confusing and fucked up lessons. And for all the women out there, young or old, learn how to use a fucking gun and buy one. And buy a ballistic vest while you're at it. In fact, if you don't want to buy a gun, at least buy a vest and learn how to use a fucking knife. Because if you think that this make-believe bullshit reality, especially here in Seattle, is going to continue forever, I think you're crazy. And right now, if you're a woman in some, I don't know, nice apartment in Belltown, staring out at these Raytheon-created streets, you know, having your fancy little glass of wine, you can make fun of me all you want to. But at least I've adjusted to ground state. I've adjusted to the reality to come. You've got a lot of fucking altitude to lose, honey. And coming down might actually kill you. That's my advice to the women out there. It's not, I don't hate women, but I think you guys have been sold a bill of goods. I think you've been lied to. I think they told you that if you gave up on traditional roles, you could have everything you ever wanted. Well, they lied to you. They did. They lied to everybody. They lied to you too. Next topic. Because I think I just pissed off like a whole bunch of women, and I hope they understand I'm not anti-women. It's not that at all. It is not that at all. It's got zero to do with whether or not I think women are awesome, and boy, it would be great to have a girlfriend in the future. But the fact is this: in a world of men who have been told that traditional values are bullshit, it isn't gonna be like the olden days of men victimizing women. It's gonna be way fucking worse. Okay? That is one of the net effects. That's one of the consequences of destroying anything like a traditional value system. When this thing flips over and men and women both start flipping out, whatever moral barriers existed 100 years ago, those are fucking gone. You outsourced your principles to the government. Guess what? You can't just insource that stuff overnight. In fact, I would argue the following. It's harder to insource your principles than it is to pull a factory from China back to the States. Listen to what I just fucking said. It's easier for Trump to scare factories from China to the States, okay, to move them back here, than it is for us to regain our self-governance in the crisis. That is something you have to build before the crisis. That is something you do before things go bad. Not while, not during. Next topic. Gonna check the battery too here. We're doing okay. We're doing okay. A friend of mine, a listener, is helping me out with a charger and a power supply for this H4N Pro. I love this H4N Pro, as I've said. It's got so many functions I haven't even learned yet. But it chews up batteries like a motherfucker. And that's not the next topic, but I thought it would go there. Anyways, there's a meme, and it's not a new meme, and I think it is a constructed meme. And when I say meme, I mean Mike, Echo, meme. There's a meme going around that's been going around for years, really, even before the internet. That if you want to live a healthy life, if you want to be a healthy person, if you really want to be a healthy, good person, you have to surround yourself with positive people. And there are a lot of gurus that sell this shit, okay? They sell this idea that the only way to be happy is to be positive about everything and to surround yourself with positive people. Which means that if you're Uncle Dan, you're not really... Nobody wants you in this particular movement, okay? Because you're never going to be positive. Even when I try to be positive, I fuck it up. I think this is a constructed form of propaganda. I think the message here is really simple. People who are unhappy about their reality ought to be sick, should be sick. They are sick. They're physically sick. And if you want to be healthy, you need to push those people away. So, for example, let's say there was some nasty-ass war going on, which currently there are wars almost everywhere on this planet. And you just weren't that happy about it. Like, for example, you said to your girlfriend, "Girlfriend, don't you wish these wars could stop? Girlfriend, wouldn't it be great if we would just stop killing each other for 2 weeks a year?" And your girlfriend looks at you and says, "Well, that's not very positive. I'm trying to surround myself with positive energy." I think it's okay to be positive. If you're one of those people that's a natural optimist, God bless you. Especially if you're a Christian. You're kind of, that's one way to live the kingdom life, is to put your problems into the hands of Christ. But there's a big difference between that and saying that the only way to be healthy is to surround yourself with positive people. Every time I see one of these memes, and again, I hate to say it, I'll admit to it, You already know this. I'm back on social media, technically. I'm on Minds.com. So far, Minds.com has not banned me. So far, they don't seem to be shadow banning me. So far, unlike Steemit, I don't have a bunch of crypto bullies attacking me. So actually, so far, I'm kind of happy with Minds. And, you know, there's that. But, you know, I'm back on Minds, and I'll see these fucking memes come up saying, if you want to be healthy, you got to surround yourself with positive energy. Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. That might be true. It might also be a load of shit. I'm not saying you should be negative. I'm saying give up on this whole you're only going to have positive people around you or negative people. Why don't you just have friendly people around you? Wow, isn't it funny they don't use that fucking word in their New Age talk speak? They use the word positive. They don't say friendly. Guess what? There's a big fucking difference. I have met lots of positive people in my life. I've met tons of positive people. Very few of them were friendly. Very few of them were people I would want to hang out with. Very few of them were people that I would frankly trust if I had a daughter to date or to chaperone. They were creepy, creepy people, most of them, but they were very positive. I said this before, but if you're ever around the intel community in the military, and when I say intel, I mean military intelligence, there's like two types of intel officers, and I think this applies to the CIA as well. They're the drinkers and the non-drinkers, and for the most part, the drinkers are the ones that have a soul, because they know what they've been doing. They know what they're asked to do. It's really shitty. Nobody else wants to do it. The American people simply pay their fucking taxes and hold their fucking noses. All they know is they gotta go do something shitty. So you got the drinkers, okay? And we could add pill poppers too. You got the drinkers and the pill poppers, and then you got the fucking positive, you know, health nut intel officer that runs 10 miles a day. That guy's most likely a fucking sociopath. The guy that can go home late at night after watching a family set on fire in Syria by a drone attack that we launched, the guy that can just go home and sleep like a fucking baby after that, I don't want to hang out with that fucker. That's my opinion of surrounding yourself with positive people. I've met a lot of positive people, and I'm positively sure that most of them, if they gave themselves the chance, would just be serial killers, and some of them probably were. But they were really, really positive. Not friendly, not likable, not somebody you would feel comfortable telling truths to or listening to, but very fucking positive. Next topic, last topic. last topic, Friday night extravaganza. Remember, it's September the 27th and it's almost 9:30. I don't know. We covered some things today. We talked about the weather. We talked about the crazy. We talked about the fact that if you're a young man and you call yourself an incel, an involuntary celibate, that it would be better if you just didn't measure yourself in those terms. And again, I want to get back to that one last time. Don't harm people because you're not having sex. Don't hurt people because you're not having sex. Don't harm or hurt yourself because you're not having sex. It's okay. It may be uncomfortable. You might want to have sex because everyone else is doing it. But listen, you're not, the random sex, you're not missing out on anything, really. And there are a lot of people who probably go home with two or three people a week. And I'm going to tell you something, and you need to fucking open up your ears if you're a young man. You need to listen to this. Those guys that go home after fucking two or three women a week, they're probably lonely as fuck. They might even be lonelier than you. And on those occasions where one or two or more of their paramours happen to coincide in the same place at the same time, then all of a sudden it becomes really shitty if you have a soul. Because you don't treat women like this. Men should not treat women like they're fucking garbage, and women should not treat men like garbage. Oh, wow, Dan. That's a crazy theory of relationships. If you're a man, don't treat your girlfriend like garbage. If you're a girl, don't treat your boyfriend like garbage. If you're a human being, try not to treat fellow human beings like garbage. And one way of treating someone like garbage is to treat them like a hooker, to treat them like a fuckbag, to treat them like some one-night stand. And this applies whether you're a man or a woman. I think both genders, all genders, whatever, get sucked into this. And guess what? If you're gay, this applies to you too. Don't treat people as if they're there just to satisfy you sexually. Because if you do, I promise you, you will end up one day the loneliest motherfucker on planet Earth. And if you can be a young man and just get over it, because guess what? I didn't have sex till I was 30. I mean, maybe I had sex when I was 19, but in reality, I didn't have sex till I was 30. If you can just get over that shit, then you'll find out that there's a lot more to life than just your penis or your junk. I want you guys to do something. And this is how I'm going to end this podcast. I want you all to get up. To get up, stand up, go to your window, go to your balcony. If you have a deck, go outside. If you have a lawn outside your house, go out there, okay? I want you to get up and go out there and scream as loud as you can. I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Now, I know what you're going to say. Dan, I saw that movie. But it's not a movie, folks. This isn't a movie. This isn't a test. This isn't a cult. I'm not somebody special. I'm just a burned-out computer programmer in Little Saigon. I want you to open your fucking window, go outside your fucking house, scream at the fucking sky, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Have a great Friday night.